It's time for the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach Doug DeFeller. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Paul. Glad to be with you here in studio today, and we've got a full house. So welcome to today's episode of the Coaching Perspective Radio Show. I'm your host, Doug DeFeller. I'm a Master Certified Coach by the International Coach Federation, and I've been coaching business owners, senior executives, and their teams for 21 years, helping them to clarify their objectives and reach their goals. So if you'd like to know more about my coaching services, just go to the website, thecoachingperspective.com. Well, our guest for today is Dan Weil. You know what? I never asked you if I pronounced that right.
It's Weil.
Weil. Dan Weil. That's W-E-I-L for you dummies out there. Dan Weil. Dan is a co-active coach and graphic designer, and his topic is, get this one, your website, social media, and online marketing meets the digital pavement in brand coaching. I love it. He wants to know, is your website and your social media efforts representing you and your business well? The online world is not just about the sale, the special, the coupon, or the events that you're hosting. It's more than that. It's about building connection points or entree points with you for your potential audience. Dan is going to share with us how weaving in professional coaching can strengthen and deepen connection with your brand, starting with clarity around your company's mission, your promise, your tone of voice, your language, and all the touch points that your potential clients or customers have with you and your business. He says, do this successfully, and you'll begin to feel and increase your traction on the digital highway. Ta-da! Welcome, Dan.
Well, thank you, Doug. Glad to be here.
Hey, it's a pleasure to have you here. In the effort of full disclosure, I will just mention that I was introduced to Dan by our coach in common, Cynthia Lloyd Darst. And Cynthia recommended Dan. She said he had done some great work on her website, Team Darst. And I was looking to do some work on my website, and I found that in working with Dan, he brought to the table a lot more than the ability to design a website. Through his coaching, I really got clarity on my business model, the revenue sources, the message that I wanted to deliver. And in the process, we also redesigned and came up with a great-looking website. Actually, the redesign of the website might have been the secondary benefit that I got from working with you, Dan.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad to hear that. That's exactly what we want, is, you know, you to feel more connected with your brand.
Well, if you had said that to begin with, I would have gone, I don't want to talk about that brand stuff. But you know, it worked out great. So look, let's get started by finding out a little bit about what you did prior to what you're doing now.
Okay. So, let's see. My history goes back to 1987 when I got my first graphic design client. And I spent years until about 94 working on strictly graphic design, kind of traditional direct mail pieces and things like that, for many different kinds of clients. Small businesses to large corporations. And in the 90s was introduced to some key people in the advertising world who were developing their an interactive division of an advertising company. That's how I fell into working on the internet in 94. And from then on, I've been working with different corporations at different sizes to get their brand presence online and successful. And what we did was we built websites that stuck around for 3-4 years without much change, because we answered some key questions about their businesses online.
You hear that? He designed, and he says this with pride, these websites lasted 3-4 years, a lifetime in the digital world.
Yeah, and that's kind of like a long life cycle before major changes have to take place. It's always changing. It's always growing. Websites are alive, living things that we need to foster and take care of.
You know, I think for those of us who came to the internet way back when and did the first website, you know, I can remember my first website was with some tool that the provider had, and I did it on a weekend, and then it sat there for years.
Sure.
You know, and to think that today you have to keep modifying it.
Yeah, and even more so with the advent of social media and how that, you know, incorporates into everything that we're doing online.
Okay, well, tell us what your business is like today. What do you do?
So today, what happened was I had been doing kind of my traditional website development work, and my graphic design was, you know, being leveraged into that. Designing user interfaces, designing websites that had good SEO and SEM results online. I kept finding myself in conversations with clients about not so much the functionality, not so much the user interface and the design. They wanted to talk more. And what I realized was that what was missing was that they weren't connecting to what they were presenting, to the content.
The client wasn't connecting with their own content.
Yeah, and in fact, I was in a meeting with the board of directors, and my job in that meeting was to present a website that they had already looked at, but it was my first time meeting the board of directors. And one of them turned to me and said, within the first 5 minutes, it was, hi, how are you? Nice to meet you. Here's, you know, everybody introduced themselves. He turned to me and he leaned over the table and he said, so tell me, what do we do? What does our business do? That's the kind of answer that a website can't provide if you don't know it from the inside.
But it's the kind of answer that the website should provide.
Yes. Yeah. And it was the question I kept asking throughout the project. So that initiated 3 days of meetings for them. We continued the conversation, and I threw it back at them, and I said, well, tell me, what do you do? Let's talk about that. And that was the first moment when I realized where I needed to bring in coaching into web development and into brand development so that we really could understand what people were trying to say, what they were connecting with, because part of the success of a website or any social media effort is how you're representing yourself online. And are you connected with it? Do you believe it? And if you don't believe it, and if you don't stand confidently in that perspective of, this is who I am, this is what we're saying, then it's not going to be believable to your audience. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense.
Okay.
And you know, I'm just thinking that when you and I started working together, I had been told that you were doing some coaching, but the real reason I was introduced to you was because you had designed a website.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a couple of meetings, and I thought we were talking about designing the website, and all of a sudden I realized I am being coached here. He is coaching me to identify, what is my business really about? Who are my clients? What are the services that I'm selling? Questions that I could easily answer off the top of my head, but questions that I hadn't dug into deep enough that mm-hmm. you did through your questioning of me. You know, as I remember, we actually got the website partially designed, and then through your questioning, we said, there's a whole revenue stream we hadn't even talked about. Oh, by the way, Dan, I do this too. Do you think that should be on your website, Doug? So yeah, your coaching was, you know, very impressive. I think it would be hard for me to say, if I was grading you, are you a better coach than you are a web designer? I think you're great at both of them.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that.
Well, who are your clients? Who do you typically do work for, and how do they find you? Or you find them?
You know, all of my clients since, I've been working independently since 2000. And all of my clients have been through referral.
100%.
100%. I have just recently, in the past 2 years or so, started networking through local networking organizations in my area. But that's not where my work really comes from. It's good practice for me to stand up in front of a room and try to have a conversation about or present myself, you know, or what my services are. But most of my clients come through referral. I can't think of another way they come through right now.
Okay, so let me ask you this. If they're all coming through referral, why do you bother having a website?
Websites in today's age really kind of lend people a certain kind of credibility. It's a tool. It's a marketing tool where somebody can, you know, see if you're engaged with the technology, see if you're current, see maybe if you're blogging, they might get to have some more insight and more connection with you. as a person, see if maybe this might be somebody I want to work with or not.
And I'm putting you on the spot here because you're making your living helping people create their brand online, and you're living off of referrals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm kind of exaggerating the statement here. But is online really a good source for generating business?
I think that completely depends on your business, on the specific business. It may not be the way that your business generates business. It can support everything about your business. And if the way that I look at it is, if you imagine the hub of a wagon wheel.
I think I've heard this example from you. I love it. Go ahead.
or the hub of a bicycle wheel or some cool modern wheel. But the hub of activity of online in your marketing effort is your website. And then all of the spokes or channels like Facebook or YouTube, all of those are spokes that point back to the hub of your business activity online.
So like any good wheel, the hub needs the spokes to reinforce it.
Yes.
To create the strength.
Yeah.
And it is much stronger with lots of spokes than with just one or two.
Absolutely. You get more support. It's much broader online. You get a broader exposure, is what I'm trying to say. You know, for search engines to find you and all that kind of thing.
Okay, so who's the typical client that hires you?
You know, I have different kinds of clients, from individual coaches to individual business owners to mortgage companies. So there's all kinds of different kind of clients that I service. I've worked on bank websites. I've worked on a toothbrush company website. And I've worked on car websites. So there's a strong cross section of what's possible for me to work with online. So
what is the, if you had to do your target marketing, who are you shooting for? Who is the probably perfect, but we'll never find it?
So I would say the person that, or the either the business owner, the executive, the team that's out there that wants to either connect better and make their internet presence feel like it's working for them. The clients that come to me are typically unhappy about some particular aspect, either in what the website's doing or the relationship with however it's getting done. So part of what I do is I empower clients to manage their own content and to let them know that I'm available if they need. And I'm trying to take the mystery out of it and not make it so difficult and daunting. You don't have to be an expert at all of these technologies to have a good, you know, presence online and to feel like you're connected with your brand online.
Okay, so I want to make sure I don't mislead the audience here. Am I doing you a disservice to classify you as a web designer when you do much more? How do you describe what you do?
Right now, my business is much more weighted on the coaching side. I'm really stepping into the coaching side of it. And where I'm focusing most of my effort is you know, either with one-on-one coaching, executive coaching, or with brand development coaching. And when we're talking about what we're talking about today, which is, you know, that side of it. So I'm really focusing more on the coaching side of it. There are plenty of web developers and graphic designers out there, and I will support that work however the project needs to get done. My interest and my passion is definitely, and you know, when you talk about life purpose and all of that, it's definitely in the coaching arena, because I really love to see people get energized and feel like they're taking, you know, charge of their world in that space.
I've never met a coach yet who wasn't a zealot, that was passionate about something. I love it. So look, that brings us right to the question that I ask every guest we've ever had on the show. Mm-hmm. What's your guiding principle? What's the true north that has to stay constant?
It took me a while to find the answer to that question for me. In all of the work that I've done, all of the experience that I've had in the different jobs that I've worked on, and going to college and going to school, and it wasn't until I took probably, it might have been my first class at CTI, the first course.
Coaches Training Institute, for those of you who don't know CTI.
And it really just was so clear and really just like almost slammed me over the head with my purpose was doing coaching. My guiding principle was showing people what they have inside them. And I get so much joy and so much, pleasure out of what somebody else can achieve when they're just asked some amazing, powerful questions. And we use that strong coaching model and really show them what they have within them. What I've started to do is I've developed a set of tools that help people connect strongly with their brand. A lot of people don't understand what branding is, and I kind of try to simplify it. And I view branding as every touch point that somebody, your potential target might have or your audience might have. In their experience of you, whether that's how you answer the phone, whether that's how you appear in public, whether that is your products and services, whatever their experience is of you, we want to look at that and make sure that you're standing confidently in how you're showing up and how you're presenting yourself. So the first step in that process is to actually get into the coactive coaching process, which is to start talking about values, start talking about purpose, start talking, connecting somebody with those things that drive them in their purpose, and connect them with why they're doing what they're doing in business. What's the driving factor there? Where it relates, where they're honoring their values.
So if I was to take that and put it into the sort of corporate language, mm-hmm. we're talking about your vision statement, your values, your mission statement.
Brand promise,
those kinds of things.
Right. And so our goal is to, we hear the word authenticity a lot.
Yeah, it's not even one I'm comfortable with because it's so overused.
So what if we started talking about a genuine brand, or if we started saying, is this brand, in the case of a website, behaving in a genuine way? Are they doing what they say they're going to do, or are they blocking my experience with them immediately with some kind of a pop-up? Or with some kind of a thing that I have to do to get to the content that they promised me.
So what is the brand, a statement? Is it a logo? Is it a catchy tune? Is it a statement? What is the physical thing when you've figured out from me what my brand is? What do we have?
So at the end of that, you'll have some physical expressions of the brand, which would be like your brand identity, which could be a logo. Your brand promise, which is, this is what we promise to do as a brand.
Okay.
You will have different elements of what makes a brand, together as a thing. But the other important thing that most people kind of disconnect from is the language of the brand. What are the words that they are using to deliver the experience of conversation with that brand? And in a lot of cases, what we tend to do is we tend to think of the brand as something separate from us, separate from who we are, separate from, the experience of the business. And maybe that's true in many cases. But there's also the human being part of this that we want to integrate here, because we are representatives in business of our own brands.
So I tend to think of, and or maybe have until meeting you, I tend to think of when somebody says brand, I think of their business card. I think Sure. of their logo. I think of the colors that they use for their website, their marketing material, Mm-hmm. whatever. What I'm hearing you say, though, is those are things that are used to express who either who I am personally, Doug Gefeller, if it's a one-man company, Mm-hmm. or to express who I am as a company. Who is the coaching perspective? What does it stand for? Mm-hmm. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yeah, so those are the kind of the physical, eye-catching things that will get somebody's attention. A tagline,
yeah.
a logo. That's brand identity.
Okay.
Okay, and what the overall brand is much deeper and much more. It involves the language and it involves how you present yourself.
Can you give me some examples of in your coaching to help somebody identify what their brand was? Mm-hmm. What did they come up with?
Okay, so I have one client who I'm working with who worked really hard with a graphic designer on their logo. Really thought it out. And as we're working on his website, and as we're working on doing this kind of process of coaching the brand and getting him in relationship with it, he's discovering that all of that work that he invested in that isn't sitting quite right with him now, because he sees things very differently in himself and what he wants to say. And he brought out these metaphors within himself and can see now, wow, this has got some very hard edges to it, the existing logo. And maybe that's not what I want to show. Maybe I want to show something that's got a softer edge or, you know, different colors. So sometimes it's about shape. Sometimes it's about color. And you know, maybe a color is perceived as something that's from the 80s or 90s. And you might want to do something that's more modern. Or in some cases, you may want to, for whatever reason, you may want to, like if you're a clean technology company, you may want to move away from blues and greens and yellows and do something that's more industrial because that fits with whatever you're doing in your business at that moment. Am I answering your question?
Sort of. I'm still sort of stretching for okay. your, if you're coaching someone, those are things that are impacted by the brand, the logo, the mm-hmm. colors and that. Mm-hmm. But the brand identification itself, what can you give me some examples of what that might be for clients? What are your own? What is your brand?
So I actually went through different iterations of my own brand, and one of the hardest things about this process for anybody is talking about their own brand.
Yes.
And is, you know, the about, their own bio. It's easy to talk about products and services, and it's easy to talk about, you know, packages of things. It's very hard to talk about yourself, and that's where that kind of brand coaching comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than make it about something, about you, or about something else, we're trying to shift it to it's from you. Okay.
Okay.
So as in my case, what I did was after I went through a couple of different designs, I finally just settled on my signature. And for me, that it wasn't, it spoke very true to me because it's a signature that I've used when I started in, you know, learning about art. It was mm-hmm. like fine art and all of that. And it's a balance of that and design and contemporary stuff. And I just wanted to have it really be from me. So I just used my signature. It just became very, very simple. And it's so much less contrived than all of the stuff that I had made before that.
Okay.
So am I making sense?
Yeah. No, that's good. So this is the way you start the coaching with the brand process. And where does it kind of go from there?
So what I do is I work with a client and I have them fill out a worksheet. And they actually take the worksheet and work on that. And then we actually do the deep dive on their answers, like to get to values, to see if they're really saying. Usually what I get back is what they think they're supposed to say.
of course.
Right. So yeah. What
it's
I tried.
It's a test. What does he want me to say?
And then I start asking the kinds of powerful probing questions that get to, you know, what is it really? What is it really? And I'm trying to peel back the layers and get to what the client really wants to say, not what they think they're supposed to say, because all of a sudden they're putting on a suit or they're putting on an exterior facade that's not necessarily what's in their heart to say and to open up and to do. And so the process is we go through the worksheets, and usually that takes, you know, it's 5 pages. It's not really, it's not rocket science. They're just straightforward questions. But when you deepen that with further questions, it becomes 3 or 4 meetings worth of let's really figure out what we're doing.
So so the result of this coaching is to identify what the individual really, who the individual is, and what they stand for. And I say individual, it could be company also.
Yes. Yes. And the after you get through the process of going through the worksheets, the end result is we kind of do a summary sheet called a profile.
Okay.
And that profile is designed to be a living document that's included in a notebook that you might keep important business plans or marketing plans in. And it's what you would use to work with vendors or your own teams or people that represent you so that they understand how this entity is going to be spoken about, so that they really get who this is, what this is, and so that when you also are out in the world, you have that ingrained within you now. You're connected with it now, so that it's very easy to stand, and there's no anxiety about where you're standing and what you're talking about. You're there with confidence.
So I'm getting the sense this could be a very, I'm going to say, sort of spiritual statement about what I stand for, who I am, what my ethics, values are.
If that makes sense, sure.
Or it could be a much more hardcore statement about this is what we do. We, you know, I have a client that I'm wondering if their brand statement would be, we always deliver on time. We always place the customer first. I mean, we always see those things. Are those brand identifications or brand statements that we're talking about?
Those can be either brand taglines. They could be promises, brand promises. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the word authenticity as being a word that's used all over the place like crazy, and it's getting confusing to know what that actually means. So the same with what you just said. We deliver on time. What does that mean? So we want to dive deeper into that. It's easy to say a statement like that and then move on.
Sure.
But what we want to do is we want to stay there in that space and really investigate what that means and why we're saying it.
Okay.
Okay, so that's when you dive deeper into that, that's where you're going to start to have it become a part of your understanding and how you become more effective, because there's no questioning at that point. What am I supposed to say? Because you know that you're standing in the confidence of that.
Once you have that clarified with the client, what do you now do with it?
So we now get to a point where we have the profile.
Okay.
We have the kind of the summary, and at that point, the client can direct me where they actually want that rubber to hit the road, and what that could be is the kind of classic design process of working on logos, working on websites, developing materials, and developing language around the content that appears in all of the marketing materials that a business produces, and making sure, by checking back with that profile, that we're being consistent with what we're saying, and we're being true to what we said we are, because we want to be authentic and genuine in what we present to our potential customers, so that their customers and the target audience doesn't feel manipulated into something else, that they really are resonating with something that's true.
You know, when you said so they don't feel manipulated, that's one of the things that I think causes so much confusion with social media. Is what is the purpose of social media? Is the purpose of social media to show that, you know, my Facebook page, that I've got a family and I spend time with my dog and I've got grandkids? Or is the purpose on my LinkedIn page to show that I know lots of professional people and I retweet or repost all of the brilliant things they say? Or is the purpose to allow you to order my services and book my coaching time on the website? You know, is social media today a sales? Is it an order taking tool? Is it a sales tool? Is it a coffee clatch to get to know you?
So that's a great question, and I think that part of that answer is that it depends on you. It depends on the business and how you want to leverage those channels. There's kind of an 80-20 rule. It's an easy formula to remember, where all of those channels are relationship points. They're places to build relationships with your potential clients, or entree points with potential clients and your an audience. So in that regard, there's the sales aspect to build awareness, brand awareness of your company. So because the internet and social media is more than just about sales, there's the 80-20 rule goes 80% relationship building and 20% sales. Okay.
Okay. Would you apply that to Amazon's website?
No, that's completely different. No, but when we're talking about Facebook, or we're talking about Twitter, or we're talking about LinkedIn. Now, LinkedIn is really a more professional, job-related, and at least initially, you know, how do we find out who's available for work, and what they do. It's becoming more like the professional version of Facebook, from what my experience is with it. Mm-hmm. Whereas Facebook is definitely much more relationship oriented, and you know, started out more family, but family and relatives and friends and all of that kind of stuff, versus all of the marketing stuff and politics and all of that that just kind of feeds in there.
Well, you know, I like where you're kind of going with this, or at least what I understand is that there are some stores on social media sites. Mm-hmm. Amazon is a store. Mm-hmm. It's the same kind of store as Macy's across the street or whatever. But that most of the social media sites, whatever you want to call them, are for relationship building.
Yes.
That will ultimately, through some other method, create a sale.
Right. So
would that be correct?
Yeah. So if we go back to the metaphor of the wheel, the relationship building that you do in those different channels and the content that you build in those different channels, all point back to your site where the actual activity happens, whether it's a sale, whether it's a potential lead. You know, so the social media lineup of channels is about being social and building relationships really first, but now they've grown into these monster machines of advertising. And
now all of these different channels, spokes, I mean, so many of them, they're so different from one another. Okay, I'm gonna say you're sitting here, it's OC Talk Radio, the Coaching Perspective radio show. That is one of the spokes,
yes,
in yours or my social media channels, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and the website. What is the need to tie these together? Are they independent elements that have nothing to do with one another, or is there some commonality?
Both. Depending on who owns it.
Okay.
Who owns the property. Like Google owns YouTube now. Reason why you want to get involved in any of these things is to go where your audience is or where your potential market is. And what that allows you to do is open up a further way for search engines to index your business. You know, when somebody puts in a search request, the result will come back with more opportunities for them to find you if you're in these different channels.
See, I kind of look at social media the same way I would look at going to networking meetings.
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to look in the paper for this week, and I'm going to see that there's 10 networking meetings in Orange County that I could get to.
Mm-hmm.
Five of them are for groups that I want nothing to do with. They're, you know, maybe there are people knitting.
Sure.
Maybe it's a book club. And there's five of them that could have value to me in the sense that they're the people that would go to them are people I want to connect with. They're business people, they're coaches, they're radio show hosts. I mean, whatever reason. It's sort of like that's the same kind of thinking that dictates what networking meetings I go to. That same kind of thinking sort of should dictate what social media tools I'm using.
Right. It's that adage of, you know, go where your customers are.
Yeah.
Go where your network is.
And when I go to the networking meeting, I have to look at the fact that what's the message I'm delivering at the meeting when I stand up and introduce myself?
Now imagine if you did that and you stood there and you felt confident in the language that you use, the words that you're using when you're doing that. And if you stood there feeling confident about what you're representing, this is a moment of branding.
Yeah.
Okay. This is where that kind of hits. That's not the digital highway, but it's certainly the in-person highway of how you're showing up.
And you know, I know in my own case, I can look at my LinkedIn page, my Facebook page, my Twitter page. Okay, I filled out all the blanks to get those pages. You had to have a bio. You had to have a contact information. I mean, to think that there's no way that there is a real strong correlation from one to the other. I did them at different times. I did them in different moods.
Right.
I sort of filled out the blanks without thinking about taking advantage of your brand coaching and saying, this is who we are. This is the consistent message image that we want to convey every place we go.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I hear you saying. Is that
so? There's definitely some elements that you'll want to be consistent with. So the process of looking at how you're showing up in these different areas can be applied. So that the brand worksheets and the branding process can be applied to every channel and every product or service you have. Okay, that doesn't mean that you say the same thing within each channel. That means that you evaluate what you're saying within each channel to make sure that the audience that you're trying to reach there is hearing what you have to say, or you're talking their language, but consistent, in a consistent way.
Okay. I may even be getting this. We're getting close to time here, so we're not out of time, but I want to just turn to you and say, you know, what else is it you want to convey to the audience that I may have sidetracked you and you didn't get to talk about yet?
I think I would just want to remind everybody that technology is a tool. It's not something to be afraid of. It's not something to be intimidated by. It's something to, and it's not even something to master. These are tools that you can bring to use and leverage however it fits your business. So there's no real mystery around, there's the magic certainly, but there's no real mystery in terms of using it. So my message would be to be comfortable. To be okay with it, and to be comfortable, technology is here to stay, and to find the people in your network, in your circle, that will support you to feel comfortable. If you're feeling tense or anxious about it, if it's not working for you, then maybe you're not working with the right person. But I would just suggest that, you know, that it's going to be all okay, and to just be comfortable with it.
You know, I would sort of liken what you're talking about as to driving a car. You know, if you've bought a new car recently with today's high-tech cars, mm-hmm. you're down there buying a car, you already know how to drive. Mm-hmm. And what you want to do is buy a car so you can drive it.
Absolutely.
But the dealerships have realized that the technology is so complicated on these cars that they don't want you to just pay them and drive it off the lot. They want you to stay and spend an hour and a half familiarization session with them.
Right.
They want to walk you through how your phone works with it, how all of the other tools, how do you set the cruise control? What do you do when it steers you back out of the lane that you've been driving in? Don't get frightened. It's sort of the same thing with the social media, with the digital highway, as you talk about mm-hmm. it. I don't want to have to learn how to program my website.
Right.
But I want to drive. I want to be able to utilize it.
Absolutely.
And what I found in your brand coaching, whereas I thought I was designing a website, instead I was getting a driving lesson and didn't need to figure out how the engine works.
Yeah, we don't have to need it. It's like we're not all engineers.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not an engineer. I can write HTML, but I could not code my way out of anything.
Well, look, how do people get in touch with you?
The best way to get in touch with me is through my website, dnwassociates.com.
Say that again?
It's dnwassociates.com.
Okay. What social medias do you use in your business?
I've been mostly LinkedIn and Facebook, and I'm constantly evaluating if I even want to be doing that, if it makes sense to do that. But it's definitely a good practice to learn everything that I preach.
What do you see as the biggest change coming for social media?
That's a really good question. Really, really good question. I think that with everything that we're seeing happening today in the world, I'm actually thinking a lot of people are leaving places like Facebook because it's just too much input. So maybe people are starting to find ways to make a little oasis on Facebook that feels safe and comfortable. And really, you know, I think we have to ask ourselves, what are we going to Facebook for? And you know, is it to connect with friends and family? Is it to find out what people are up to? Is it to find out where the latest networking event is? You know, what are we specifically going for? And for me, I wind up turning off all of the political stuff because it's just too much. We get it everywhere.
Well, you know, we were debating just before the show, you and I having this conversation. Here we are on internet radio, mm-hmm. and we were talking because we're looking at the producer here getting ready to set up to do debating about should he be doing Facebook Live. What's going to be the impact of video? Is video going to...
You know, video is very, very interesting. We'll have to see where that takes us. What video allows us to do is, if you think about it from a branding perspective, it's another touch point, but it's a much deeper touch point because people can get to see you and relate to you, and it's a great way to build connection with somebody who might want to do business with you, who hasn't found you yet. So that's why building a YouTube channel or using Facebook Live and pointing those back to your website and also incorporating them into your website, like feeding the video into your website,
yeah.
is a really, really great way for people to hear your voice, to understand what you look like when you're talking, and to see your passion and what drives you and the fire that you have in you to about whatever your business is and whatever you're up to.
Okay, so a coaching question now. Having said all that, are you using video in your individual coaching sessions?
You know, I'm doing a mix of phone and video.
Oh.
They're both very different coaching skills. And it's very, very interesting. I was just having this conversation with somebody else this week. Using the phone, really, you really have to incorporate and exercise that listening skill. Really have to listen. But when you're using video, you're not only using that skill, but you can see somebody's full-on laughter when they throw their head back and they laugh. You're not necessarily going to see all of the micro expressions and the nuances of how they're reacting when you're just on the phone. But you use whatever's possible. I use both. It's working really well.
You know, I've had the debate for years about the difference between one-on-one on-site coaching and phone coaching. And I've always sort of made the statement that I think my coaching is almost better on the phone than in a one-on-one because there's fewer distractions. I'm not in your office watching somebody walk down the hall or interrupting us. And you know, so I've really pretty much stayed with the phone coaching, but video now lets us communicate. It gives me the visual clues or cues without the interruptions.
Yeah, I've had some clients that work really well on the phone because they really respect that space that we're trying to create on the phone and that room that we're in on the telephone. Sometimes you have to pause the conversation and say, okay, whatever's distracting you, close the door, turn it off.
Yeah.
But through video, I can now say, okay, you're looking at this computer screen and you're looking at me. We're not checking email. We're not doing all these other things that we are wanted to checking social media when we're in a coaching session. So you get very different access to the client that way. And I think it also just depends on what the client's space is. The other thing about using a phone versus video is that you, for some clients, that creates a much more private space for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm working with one client where that's very important.
Yeah, I know I have some clients that wouldn't be comfortable with video.
Mm-hmm.
This is a confidential session.
Yes.
You can't even see the expression I'm making. Okay. Anything else?
Not that I can think of, unless okay. You've got more questions.
I always have more questions, Dan. I just want to thank you for being with us today and taking the time. Dan drove down here to Orange County from Palmdale.
Yeah.
And that's no easy feat. What's even harder is driving back. But thank you very much for taking the time to share your wisdom and your insights on the digital highway with us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, and welcome to the Coaching Perspective Radio Show community.
Thank you.
Well, look, if you're listening to our podcast, then thank you for visiting our website, thecoachingperspective.com. While you're there, be sure to check out our archives for other shows and other guests with interesting topics. Speaking of guests, if you're interested in being a guest on the show, we'd love to have you. Just send me an email, doug@thecoachingperspective.com, or better yet, go to the website and just say you want. There's a box that says contact me, say you want to be a radio show guest, and we'll get in touch with you. Well, look, I hope you've enjoyed the show today. Our goal is always to have discussions that provide you with new ideas and information that you can use and put to use immediately to identify and achieve your goals. I'll be back with you again in 2 weeks. Have a great evening.
You've been listening to the only show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, The Coaching Perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach Doug DeFeller.